Hello and welcome. This is Richard Bleasdale with another edition of Campaign Asia's Creation Stories, which is a program of videos and podcasts that we're running, looking at some of the best work that's happening across Asia Pacific at the moment, and really the stories behind that great work getting to market. We all know as marketers and agencies how challenging that is. So today we are going to Australia, to Melbourne. I believe it's a cold winter's day down in Melbourne at the moment. And we're going to look at a really very, very interesting brand repositioning campaign for the Australian brand Flybuys. Firstly, to introduce from Flybuys, Jared Flood, who is the Senior Marketing Manager for Brand and Channels at Flybuys. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having us today.
Not at all. And joining Jared from their agency partner, CHE Proximity, is Jamie Herman, who is Senior Account Director on the Flybuys account. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, Richard. Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Not at all. So as I said, we're going to be looking at a very, very interesting brand repositioning campaign from Flybuys. And to do that, we'll start by showing the launch video for the campaign. Just for any of our listeners who are listening to this as an audio podcast, if you'd like to go to CampaignAsia/creationstories, you can watch the video in full there. And that's also where we house all of our episodes for Creation Stories. So it's a fantastic source to get more information on the campaigns. So anyway, I'm going to start by showing the video. I'll just switch screens and we'll have a little look.
Okay. Sure. I will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'll see you soon.
I'm the Magpie, collecting Flybuys points and shiny dollars off my shop. Yeah, I'm ducking out for toot roll, wrist rolls, bread rolls, and probably some chicken chips. I'm the mayor of Rundle Mall, minister of freebies, catalog connoisseur. I'll give a Flybuys. I'm the unlettered economist, a discount docket dealer. 8 points per litre, lattes on me. My mate Damo's out doing the windscreen. He wanted a jockey too, so yeah, I got him one. I'm the meat pie fiend. I keep my windscreens clean. I give a Flybuys. Hello, Mossman. It's your yummy mummy. A Moscato liberator. A frosé queen. I'm into entertaining and it's cocktail hour. A cheeky teeny, don't mind if I do. A triple offer, tipple. I'm the scanning sommelier. Smell that? Smells like points. I give the Flybuys. We're boarding gate 14, destination mojitos. Paging BFFs, Mindy and Sue's. Yeah, we're the wine and dining, chair reclining, points hoarders. Saving up for some R&R at Surfers. We're 3-part super passes, wet and wild. A deck chair, bags with a towel. We're the infrequent flyers, the cumulus riders. We give a Flybuys. It's Mr. Back to School, principal of pack lunches, lord of baggy uniforms, cause they'll grow into it. My Nick and Ophelia are looking photo day fresh, dressed by points. I'm the glue stick supplier, the Legionnaire's hat provider. I give a Flybuys. I'm the whiplash scanner, IGAF. Mrs. Christmas cupboard, IGAF. Hey, we're dinner defrosting, we GAF. CEO of On Special, IGAF. Come on, mate, GAF. Give a Flybuys, take more.
Okay, guys. I just love that commercial. It's so fantastic.
It's every time I hear that still, even though I've probably listened to it 1,000 times, I still, I don't know, there's something that can't stop me tapping my feet along to that tune.
I completely agree.
It's so, I hope this is okay for me to say, quintessentially Australian. It's just got so much insight in it that it's so wonderful. So
yeah, we're very lucky throughout the entire process that, and it may have had something to do that we were kind of going through the middle of the pandemic and Australian artists and talent were kind of struggling for work at the time, but we landed on such amazing talent, both in our cast of talent, but also in our VO. Blake Scott, who was the VO artist on the track, was just incredible to work with. A Melbourne-based artist who's in a kind of an indie band here. And we're really lucky that we landed him when we did.
Yeah, no, every single... Well, we'll get into that later because I'm really keen to talk about the execution because it is so precise. It really is done well. But maybe if we could start the conversation, Jared, if I start with you. I mean, I'm sort of quite familiar with Flybys as a brand. It's been around for quite a long time. But maybe you could give us just to paint a bit of a picture of the business and marketing challenge that the Flybys was facing.
Yeah. So Flybys has been around in Australia for 25 years this year. And we are Australia's favourite and most loved loyalty program. And we're really proud of that. We've been in Australian households, as I said, 25 years, and we're really that kind of that quintessential shopping item. When you go to the supermarket and you pull out your card, you're always swiping at the checkout. What we had found, though, over the last couple of years is that there was a bit of zombie swiping, as we call it, going on at the checkout. People were swiping their card at the checkout, but they weren't really thinking about what it was doing or how it was relevant to their lives. Mm-hmm. But we had a bit of a look back at ourselves over the last couple of years, and really when we cast our mind back, we weren't truly above the line in the Australian market until or since 2012, where we partnered with Velocity, which is the frequent flyer program for Virgin Airlines in Australia. Okay. And that's when we were truly last above the line, where we had Dawn French as our ambassador. For many Australians, Dawn really didn't resonate with them. We were partnered with Coles at the time. Dawn had done some work with Coles, and it seemed like the right thing to do. The campaign was a success. We had a great partnership with Velocity. We still do today. But that was really the last time we were out truly above the line. Since then, Flybys has kind of evolved. We were intrinsically always part of the Coles supermarket business, but with Wesfarmers owning part of Coles, and the separation from Coles from Wesfarmers, there was a decision to be made between Coles and Wes on what would happen to the Flybys business, given that we hold such vast amounts of consumer data. So the decision was made that we would become a joint venture between Coles and Wes, and that was in 2018.
Cool.
It was at that point that we really decided that as a joint venture between those two businesses, that we needed to step away from the Coles creative agency and go out to market for an agency that would suit our business creatively, but also suit our business from a data-led perspective. I mean, at the very root of cause of what Flybys is that we are a data-led business. We're a digital agency, and we needed to partner with an agency that helped us kind of thrive and unpick some of those things that maybe we had kind of lent too much on our kind of traditional supermarket-led agencies in the past. So that was in July of 2019, which really kind of formed part of this relationship between CHE Proximity and Flybys. They obviously won that pitch. And from there, we built out a really robust segmentation study and then went on to inform our brand repositioning.
So this work was in essence the outcome of a new partnership.
Absolutely. So as part of CHEP's response to our brief for the RFP or for the pitch, they responded with the GAF, the Give a Flybys campaign. Often what happens with these agency pitches is you see the pitch and it never really sees the light of day again.
Sure,
but there was such love for the response that we thought that we can't just leave this in the dark. We need everyone to see this. And that's where we landed.
Okay. So you were in a pitch situation. You were going to market to find a new agency. You were thinking, obviously, quite carefully about how you need to reposition the brand. What was the, in essence, what was the brief, the pitch brief? What was the sort of crux of the challenge for the brand?
It's interesting that you say that, Richard. So there was actually two components of the brief. We knew that we wanted to celebrate the fact that we were 25 years in market. Mm-hmm. And we also wanted the agency to respond on a strategic solution for the Flybys brand.
Right.
When CHEP responded, and while we're really proud of being out in market for 25 years and we're established within the Australian community, it didn't. CHEP's response kind of led us to believe that that wasn't going to be enough to change positionally how we were seen in the market. And so as they responded to the brief, they really kind of unpicked what that meant for us as a business and how strategically we could do things differently to what we're doing today, or what we were doing in the past, rather.
Cool, I've got you. So if we then take that on to the agency and Jamie, you were being asked to pitch for a household brand, a household name in the Australian market. What was your guys at CHE Proximity? What was your sort of take on the brief in terms of what the brand was looking for and what the brand needed to do?
Well, I guess first and foremost, opportunity is to work on one of the most iconic, loved and memorable brands in Australia is never something to be sniffed at. So we knew that we had to throw everything, the kitchen sink and all, at the brief, because Flybys is a brand that deserved the scale and recognition that its heritage sort of supported it with. So looking at the brief, it was actually quite a clear brief, I would say, in credit to Flybys, which not many agencies may say in response to a pitch. And it was quite clear from the data that the Flybys also supplied that there was quite a clear tension from our perspective with sort of the micro economic issues at the heart of the Flybys business, combined with the sort of macro cultural trends that were going on. So we decided in response to the brief that we would essentially carve the pitch up into four sections. One would be, what is the opportunity for the brand? What is the opportunity for Flybys in Australia moving into the next decade of the 21st century? Mm-hmm. How can we demonstrate a greater understanding, not only for the brand, but also the members? Flybys have 8.7 million active cardholders across Australia. And as you can imagine, they all come with their own nuances and diverse interests. So if we are going to respond intelligently, then we need to also demonstrate that we understand that these 8.7 million members are by no means homogenous. Mm-hmm. The third thing is then, what is that brand platform that we can leap from and take Flybys into the stratosphere to continue to lead the category? And then finally is, how can we take all of that and personalize it at scale, which is what's really at the heart of CHEP's agency offering as well, as a full service agency. And the heart of the way we approach any brief is what we call connected creativity, mm-hmm. which is that when creativity in its purest form is combined with connection, so the right channel at the right audience at the right time in the right sequence at the right cost, mm-hmm. then what you get is much more effective work. So we attack the pitch really in those four ways, and that culminated in Give a Flybys, Take More.
Okay, wow. So a few really interesting things to kind of unpick there. You obviously, in terms of your four areas, you had four very crucial aspects to what you were presenting against. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm interested in specifically is, and Jared also mentioned it earlier, I think it was the third thing that you talked around, which was this large active user base and trying not to treat them homogeneously. And Jared, I think you talked earlier about the need or the approach to segmentation. And you talked about segmentation happening. So how are you looking at segments? What was your approach to segments?
Well, the approach for segments in this sector and for this business was ultimately understanding what are the members' motivations for using Flybys, and then in return, what can Flybys offer as a program to reward these members? So I guess at its simplest, you shop at Coles or you shop at any of the 24 partners that Flybys have, and you get points in return. And that's absolutely fine. But what you get over time when that isn't personalized or deeply understood is exactly what Jared was saying before, which is zombie swipers, or people who swipe once or twice and then kind of leave their cards dormant for the rest of the year with 15 points. And they're what we call ghost members. Mm-hmm. So using a lot of internal tools, leaning on CHEP research and CHEP data, and a specific tool we have in-house for researching for members, we carved the 8.7 million members and future members into five key personas. And without, I guess we could kind of do a podcast specifically on the segmentation, but at its simplest, these five personas inform the brief, and they also inform the eventual music video that we just watched. You'll notice that there are five key characters in there. Mm. Each one represents one of those personas that range from our most engaged active persona. So these are people who are absolutely loyalist to Flybys, completely understand how it works. They use the cards, they use the app, they every single digital and physical touch point that we've got. And with that, we know how to tailor our messaging to those really engaged members, right down to the other end, which are sort of our non-members or newer, younger millennial members, mm-hmm. who, rather than deeply understanding and feeling loyal to the program, actually want something completely different. They need to be convinced. They need to feel rewarded. They need to feel understood. They need instant gratification. Mm-hmm. So when you understand the key motivators for each persona, you can then tailor the program at scale to ensure that they get fulfillment from Flybys, as opposed to just treating everyone with the same message.
Cool. I've got you. So which comes through very clearly in the launch commercial. There are kind of five magical personas, and I'm sure a lot of consumers can kind of see themselves in one or potentially more of those. So I love that from a insight perspective in terms of how you're thinking about talking to the different segments. How did you, Jamie, go from that to this idea of give a Flybys? How did that happen?
Yeah, it's a great question because it seems like quite a quantum leap at this stage. It was a two-part process. One was sort of referencing what I mentioned before, was getting really to the heart of what was the commercial problem that Flybys were facing. Mm-hmm. And despite being number one loyalty program in Australia, despite being top for prompted and unprompted awareness, Flybys had what we called a relevancy issue. A relevancy issue in that 80% of all of the points collected per year were being collected by 20% of the members.
Right.
Of those points, 70% were being collected at Coles versus any other partner. And 2/3 of all those members hadn't even redeemed their points in the last year. Redeeming in this context, meaning converting points for rewards, whether that's money off your shop or whether it's something from the reward store or things we call Flybys dollars. But that aside, so what it demonstrated was that a lot of people knew about Flybys in Australia, but a majority weren't actually using it to its full potential, which doesn't help Flybys' commercial performance. Mm. So we said at the heart of the business is there's not an awareness issue, there's a relevancy issue. So sort of park that for a moment. And then you overlay what we call the macro trends, which is what's actually happening in culture with customers. And we diagnose the issue that's happening culturally as what's called Australia had become a society of sacrifice. 65% of Australians, almost 2/3, had admitted through research and data that they'd sacrificed something in the last year just to pay a household bill. So sacrifice in this context means forgoing a holiday, not turning the heating on in the winter, sometimes even not buying fruit and veg. Mm-hmm. So over time, this sort of proliferation post the great financial crash, Australians had to become smarter and savvier with their shopping. And I'm sure this is representative of the Western world, really, but specifically in Australia, we were focusing on. Mm-hmm. And Australians developed what we call a mastery over their weekly budget. What was previously seen as thrifty and cheap and sort of trying to find good deals had actually become savvy and smart. And we saw this supported by data again. There was a 50% leap in 2019 between customers who were actively looking for brands on special. I think there was a jump of 11% from people switching from Coles and Woolies to Aldi. Australians were masters of their budget, and we landed on an insight, which is that savvy is the new sexy. So you take this combination of Flybuys has a relevancy issue, Australians are savvy and smart, and if you put them together and apply it to our 8.7 million members, you tap into that top 20%, which is, what are those 20% of members, the ones who are collecting 80% of the points? What is it that they have that means that they're loyal to the program? There must be something they get that most people don't get. Mm-hmm. And what they have is a shameless pride in collecting points. They know that Flybuys is a shortcut to gaming life and a shortcut to savviness. Mm-hmm. They're the sort of people who know that if you buy eggs, you should be collecting points. If life gives you lemons, then you should be redeeming them for a Breville fountain juicer on the reward store. These are people who fundamentally understand it. And what they have is this brazen attitude of collecting points. And that attitude is what we bottled up in, that they really GAF, they give a Flybuys. And if we can take that attitude and disperse it across every single member and non-member, then we could be onto something.
Cool. It's almost gaming, isn't it? It's almost like sort of, yeah, you said, I think this idea of maximizing or kind of gaming the opportunity. So, okay, so that's wonderful, because that kind of, like you said, it kind of bottles up all of your thinking down to this kind of fine point. So Jared, from Flybuys perspective, I'm sure, you know, it's a pitch process. So you're talking to quite a few agencies, and you've got this one agency in CHEP, as you call it, CHE proximity, who's coming at you with all of this thinking and all of this, you know, a bottled up sort of creative idea. How from the client's perspective, how did you react to what CHEP was coming at you with?
I think for us, it was about doing something that was very different to what we've done past. And what we had seen from some of the other pitches is that it was very much rehashing some of the same behavior that we had seen already, that we knew was working, but wasn't working as hard as it potentially could. And that pride in points collection that Jamie was talking about earlier, at Flybuys, we kind of live and breathe it every day as we're kind of trawling social media and we're seeing chatter amongst our brand, particularly on things like Points Hacker and kind of self-governed kind of fan pages of our brand. Mm-hmm. And that we knew that there was something there that we could tap into. And when we saw the GAF concept come through, being able to showcase our members and putting them at the forefront and almost creating ambassadors within our own brand that already are doing, are living that behavior, ambassadors that we already knew kind of live and breathe and show that sentiment amongst their friends and colleagues and family. It was almost a bit of a no-brainer for us that pride in points collection, that attitude that the CHEP put forward was something that we were already seeing in some of our independent channels anyway. Mm-hmm. And we just needed a platform in which to elevate that on.
Cool, I've got you. And how was it, if I can ask Jamie just quickly, how was it presented to the clients? How did you actually present it?
I would say the pitch was presented in a very traditional, normal way.
Right.
We only really started getting abnormal and a bit more funky once we landed on the creative execution post-pitch.
Okay. Maybe take us into that sort of process.
Absolutely. Well, the attitudes that we landed on that was loved by Flybuys, the creative challenge was an incredibly fascinating one, which is how do you execute that attitude and really convey it in a way where people watching it, and as you mentioned before, Richard, can see themselves in it and can also feel the sort of the brazen attitude at the heart of it, that this is something that's like raw and edgy and bold, not just another campaign gimmick. Mm. So we turned the attitude into an anthem, and it was our process. And that anthem was set to an original track that we composed. It was written with original lyrics that we wrote, that was our VO. And then taking that three minute music video, we knew that if we had this master asset that would live sort of organically on social channels and then be basically sliced and diced into millions of different formats that could be personalized at scale. Mm-hmm. The 3-minute music video and the associated cutdowns were what we then had to present for months and months afterwards, because we initially presented it to Jared. We were like, hey, Jared, we're your new agency. Here's our approach. We presented it to Jared. I think it was the second week of lockdown in Australia, and it was loved. And in order to present that, in order to present a 3-minute music video, we had our senior copywriter from CHEP at the time, who was a huge driver behind the script and all of the lyrics. She came along to every single meeting. We turned to her, and she would put some beats on in the background, and she would perform the entire script. That was for Jared. That was then for the chief customer officer. It was then for the CEO. We then went around all the partners to Coles Express, Kmart. And every time we had an agenda item for our copywriter to perform a rap. So that in itself is probably something I'll never experience again.
Yeah, no. It's how was that from a client perspective, Jared?
It was pretty amazing to be at it. I mean, and keep in mind as well that CHEP won the pitch in June or July of 2019, and we didn't put this out into market until February of 2021. So it was quite a long process to get from almost kind of 18 months of us socializing this, finessing it. When you think about our program and we've got a coalition of 25 partners, and having to get their endorsement, seek board approval, being a joint venture between two quite large businesses, it was a long process. But having the CHEP team and Soph, our copywriter, perform that every time we went through that process, everyone was just as blown away as I was when I was being presented, just kind of when it was just me on the other end of receiving that pretty amazing pitch. And it just really shows that power of kind of lyrical and music combined, and how that really, like, it does something different to your internal psyche when you hear that portrayed in such a pretty unique and iconic way.
Yeah, but really brilliant point. I'll come back to that in a second. So one of the key things that you're talking about there is the challenge of having multiple stakeholders, which for some corporate organizations is a challenge every day on a range of levels. So did you face any challenges with any of the stakeholders in terms of the creative direction that you were taking for the brand?
I think, it's pretty unique and it's pretty different to what we've done in the past as well. When we approached this challenge, we knew that our biggest challenge in terms of our membership was in that millennial bracket, so that 18 to 29 demographic, and that we knew that if we were going to be successful as part of this brand repositioning, is that we needed to widen the funnel amongst those demographics and make sure that we're capturing them as part of our acquisition strategy, which we've started to see some brilliant results already. But if we had continued down the road of being kind of quite family driven and very safe with our approach, then we wouldn't get the appeal in those younger demographics. So with that in mind, we went to our board and our partners, and we were kind of very honest with them and said, this is what we're setting out to do. This is the challenge that you've set for us in terms of our KPIs. And this is the approach in which we're going to go for in order to land that for our shareholders. And while there was, keep in mind, we're partnered with one of Australia's largest supermarkets in Coles, and Wesfarmers being a pretty conservative business in themselves. While there was some slight hesitation around just some creative nuances that needed to be ironed out throughout the process, we were able to answer every one of their questions, and we're able to answer them in a really methodical, well thought out, considered way, which inspired confidence amongst our board members and our shareholders, which was great.
Cool. Yeah, because that's always the challenge at this stage of the stage that you're talking about, where you've got a super, super strong and differentiated and distinctive idea and kind of creative platform, is holding the strength and the bravery of the idea through the approval process. It's always a super challenging time for the marketing group and their agency partner. So it's interesting just to hear how you guys kind of went through that.
Yeah, it almost felt like we were the agency pitching out to the clients when we were going around sharing that. I definitely had a bit of a glimpse into what Jamie's world must be like.
You know, it's I can understand. So if we then just track on to the next stage, which is around, you know, this really, really strong idea and platform being brought to life into execution. And as you said, it was a long, very long gestation period, and a large majority of that gestation period was around COVID, which in itself throws massive challenges into production. Maybe Jamie, if I could maybe just ask you to talk a little bit about the process of going from almost kind of approved script and storyboard to the finished product. How did that process kind of map out?
It mapped out entirely remotely, is the simplest way to respond. The entire process of pre-production was leading up to essentially looking to shoot in November 2020, looking to then launch ahead then in February 2021. So the entire process of pre-production, so from appointing our incredible director called Sanjay De Silva, we set about going on quite a linear path to how to create a music video, which I must confess I haven't made many in my time. First is script approved. We need to create the track. And I think if there was one moment in this entire pre-production process that I could never even explain my gratitude for Jared for his patience and diligence, was trying to review a music track without any lyrics remotely over Microsoft Teams during lockdown and come back to us with very clear feedback was immense. I don't think there are many clients who could do that. And that really helped set the tone and the pace for everything else. Because once that track was nailed, and I'm sure Jared would agree, everything else very naturally fell into place. We knew the attitude we were trying to convey in our voiceover. So when we presented our two options, Blake Scott was quite an obvious choice. He had that quintessentially Aussiness in his voice, both in terms of his accent, but also in terms of that sort of Melbourne grunge, which is the attitude. We didn't want it to become a rap that would become a bit gimmicky. It was sort of the closest thing we could find to British punk in Australia, which is something that not many brands have done. Mm-hmm. Once that was done, it was then a case of finding all of our locations for all of our five members. The trickiest of which was, you may recall from the ads, there is a scene where Mindy and Suze, who are our two younger millennials who are about to board gate 14, Destination Mojitos, during a major pandemic, of which our top secret was, where can we find in Melbourne that looks like an airport? To which we found Parliament Station, which is one of the major train stations in central Melbourne.
Yep.
Using an incredibly steep escalator to make it look like an airport. So trying to scout for locations remotely is hard enough. But then on top of that, there was a 5 kilometer radius implemented by the Victorian government during COVID. So that also meant that there were certain locations we couldn't scout on certain days because our location scout lived more than 5 kilometers away. But in the end, by the time we got to production, restrictions had lifted. And it was a very close run thing. I think a week before, Jared and I were texting because I think the premier in Victoria had announced that outdoor photography was allowed, but you weren't allowed indoors. And we were like, does this class as outdoor photography? If this doesn't, I don't know what does. So we had our track recorded, our location scouted, casting all done, and then a 3-day shoot across Melbourne, ranging from outdoor to indoor, which thankfully, majority of the COVID restrictions had been lifted.
Wonderful. And the shoot itself, how long was the shoot?
It was a 3-day shoot, some crazy hours. The crescendo of which was a 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. shoot in Coles Williamstown in Melbourne, where we shot the opening scene. We couldn't get access to the entire supermarket, understandably, until it was closed, because otherwise customers would be in the way of the shot. So we bumped into Coles Williamstown at 10 p.m. and shot until 4 a.m. And that was a wrap. Everyone was in great spirits and probably a bit overtired. It was also quite a warm day.
And Jared, were you along for the shoot? Did you get the chance to attend?
Yeah, and so that was one of the challenges that we faced kind of going into this, is that restrictions were only really eased a week out from the shoot date. And we were pretty passionate about wanting to be on set on the day to make sure that we were really capturing the essence of that attitude and doing the right thing by our brand. And and so we had some pretty long conversations with the agency around who needed to be on set. And I mean, as you can imagine, those production of that size is a lot of production on set, a lot of crew on set.
Sure.
And generally we would have invited our CEO along and things like that. None of that could happen in the environment that we were shooting in. Mm-hmm. So I was on set for every one of the scenes except for Coles Express, where we had some additional challenges around safety. So as you can imagine, bumping into a petrol station with such a huge crew, with cranes and all of the like that was happening, as well as having to navigate traffic. That was the only scene where we had one creative director on set and everyone else except for crew were monitoring everything remotely. We set up a bit of a war room at Flybys HQ and we ordered some pizza and we watched the scene get recorded.
Fantastic. That's certainly the way to build partnerships if nothing else, I guess. So you said that the campaign launched in February of this year. So it's been live, I guess, for about 4 months now, 3.5 months maybe. Do you have, and I'm not, you know, asking for numbers or anything like that, but do you have a sort of flavor at this stage on how it's being accepted?
So the initial pulse check that we're seeing in our brand tracker is that the younger demographics that we were targeting as part of this campaign are starting to increase their redemption rates as well as their acquisition numbers as well. So we're seeing positive results amongst the younger demographics. In terms of verbatim, we are seeing a little bit of, not concern, but maybe hesitation amongst some of our older members, mm-hmm. so our kind of heritage members. Mm-hmm. But what we asked, so while they do feel like that maybe the campaign doesn't align exactly with where they thought our brand was, their behavior isn't changing. Mm-hmm. So, which is, I mean, the positive thing that we want to see out of that is that while they may take a little bit longer to adjust to a new look and feel of a brand that they've kind of known and loved for 25 years, they're still not willing to compromise on what they're getting out of the program at the end of the day as well. We're hoping as we kind of continue to monitor this, and we have a brilliant PR campaign that's about to launch in a couple of weeks, I think we'll see that the relevancy that we're showcasing as part of our brand repositioning far outweighs people's kind of initial hesitation towards a very different look and feel.
Mm. It's always really, really, and maybe you guys want to comment on it as well, it's always really interesting in projects like this to a certain extent, a family or slightly older skewed brand has got to find a way to get to a younger market. And that sort of challenge of how stretchy a brand can be, you know, and what are the components of the brand that enable it to remain true to itself, but how can it find a way of talking to a new young audience? It's always a fascinating sort of project to go through. Is that something that you've seen a little bit at your end?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's always going to be a bit scary, isn't it, when you're doing something so drastic. I think you need to go with your gut. You need to kind of have confidence in the work that you're doing and kind of trust your instinct that if it feels right, put your best foot forward, because it's the only real way that you're going to be able to test it properly is with that level of confidence.
Mm. Jamie, any thoughts on that?
I think it's a really interesting point you mentioned, Richard. And I would say that it doesn't surprise me that Jared just gave the answer that he did in terms of unwaveringly understanding that whilst there may be some hesitation with older members in terms of the sentiment of the campaign, Flybys are remarkable in that they remain laser focused on what was the objective of the campaign, which was how do we engage those younger 18 to 24 year old members? How do we acquire them? And therefore, that's how we'll judge the campaign. Because I think it can be very tempting for clients and brands alike, very understandably, as soon as performance data starts to come through, to start to shift straight away rather than playing the long game. And Flybys and Chep agreed from the start that this, even from pitch, this would very much be a marathon, not a sprint. And that long-term brand building piece is called long-term for a reason, because it takes a bit of time. So it is a fascinating challenge for brands. And I'd say the ones that remain really disciplined in understanding what are our objectives, what are our KPIs, when is a sensible time to interject and apply some optimizations. And I think that Flybys get that formula really, really balanced. And I think that's why the commercial performance is so positive.
Fair enough. Okay, so last question, maybe Jared, start with you. I always like to finish up by asking specifically on this project, do you feel like there have been any sort of key learnings along the way?
I don't think there's, I don't think so much as learnings as things that have kind of established our approach for things in the future as well, and knowing that we probably wouldn't alter from that again. Mm-hmm. I think the relationship that we have with our agencies and the way that I kind of always approach our agency-client relationships is that it never should feel like a traditional agency-client relationship. When you're going at these things and you're investing so much money, you need to really make sure that both your client and the agency, or the client and the agency, are feeling like one team, and that you're going at it towards one goal. And that's what I think really shaped the way that we approached this entire campaign, was the way that Jamie and I never felt like we were working on different sides of the fence. We were kind of in the front seat together, and it was very much kind of we're in it all for one and one for all. So I think making sure that if we were to do that, this type of work again, is that it very much has to feel like a very symbiotic kind of process, and making sure that, we're kind of in it together.
Cool.
I think also not shooting quite so close to Christmas during a Coles, the largest and most important trading month of the year, would be a learning that I probably wouldn't do again.
Yeah, fair enough. I really get
and
that.
Maybe try to avoid a pandemic. That might help as well.
Yeah, good one, a choice.
Jamie, anything from the agency's end?
Absolutely. I definitely echo everything that Jared just said. Another extension of the partnership we've established that led to this campaign. I would say that learnings, in probably a very positive sense, is that it doesn't always have to be a what went wrong, what would you do differently in the future? There were certain things that happened in this campaign, in this project, in this partnership we have between Chep and Flybys that I will definitely take as a learning for throughout my entire career, which is that at the heart of all of this, a part of any relationship and partnership is trust. I fundamentally believe that. And sometimes it can be glossed over or can be a bit half-hearted. But I think throughout this entire process, Flybys and Chep, and specifically Jared and I, knew that we completely trusted each other with our lives during this. I had Flybys' best interest at heart at all time, and Jared had the creative integrity and the strategic integrity of the campaign at the center at all times. So I'd say that in a positive sense, what went well was that the trust led us through, because there's one thing we all know from these campaigns, and anyone listening to this will know in advertising, is that change is inevitable. Roadblocks are inevitable. Problems are going to happen. And the fundamental unwavering trust between an agency and a client will oversee any hurdle. Like, I fundamentally believe that. And I would say probably another useful learning as well, in addition to that positive one, is making sure that agencies and clients never underestimate, not that we did, but never underestimate the shared priorities that partners can have for huge brands like Flybys that operate in a category with 24 partners, of which one of them is Coles, which is just humongous, an absolute monolith in Australia, is making sure that whilst the Flybys campaign is at its heart, is the way it's presented and managed with those stakeholders, that their priorities are also managed and respected, not made to feel like they're problems. And Jared did that expertly, and I think that was a huge contributor to this getting approved so seamlessly.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we're just about done, guys. I really like to thank you for taking the time to go through this session with me and talk about the campaign and the wonderful journey of bringing it to life. It's a pleasure to get the chance to chat. And it really is an outstanding, genuinely outstanding piece of strategic and creative thinking from both parties, which is really nice to hear. And I'm sure at a brand level, it's going to do fantastic things for the Flybys brand in Australia. So thank you to you both very much. We really appreciate your time on Creation Stories. And we look forward to our viewers tuning in and listening on podcast to many more episodes, which are coming to you very soon. So thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Richard.
A sincere pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.